You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Hey, look, so what Jacinda Ardern is who we'll be calling back in just 2 seconds. To start, what is an ongoing conversation with her about what are you doing with your party? And we'll be throwing some questions at her as well. I've said to Jacinda that right now, at this stage of the game, she gets to tell us what they want to talk about. At this stage of the game, she gets to dictate the schedule, but we'll be asking questions as time goes on. Because have you remembered that this year is an election year? Have you remembered this year you get your democratic chance to help steer the nation, to become part of the most one of the most important processes in the future of you and your children? Have you thought about that? But today you're just going to sit on your ass and go, oh, no, it's not worth it. Don't knock anyone. Don't want to vote for anyone. Blah, 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 blah. Jacinda, tell us why we should vote for your party this year.
Well, that was an abrupt intro after you cut me off.
Yep.
Good morning.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, you know, unpredictable.
Unpredictable.
Hi, good morning. Firstly, good morning. Thank you very much for joining
us.
Thanks for joining us on the BFM Breakfast Show and what's going to be an ongoing slot too. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, no, my absolute pleasure. I just finished up at our big Labour Congress for the year, so that was a really big weekend in the world of political nerds. We had a lot of chat about housing again and youth mental health, so it was an awesome conference.
So was that housing and youth mental health?
Youth mental health, that was my particular soapbox this weekend. I had the chance to make an announcement around some, you know, services we want to put in every single secondary school to try and improve youth mental health, so something can feel pretty strongly about. And then a lot of chat about what we can be doing to crack down on speculators more and try and ease up the insane Auckland housing market. So those were our big topics.
I did read a bit of comment over the weekend from Heather Duplessis Allen, if I remember. For some reason,
oh,
I don't remember
yes.
who wrote it. That
well,
sort of said
yeah.
that sort of said something along the lines
winging
of
winging brats. I think were the words.
What were the words?
I think whinging brats.
Whinging brats. That's right. Yeah, yes. like she basically said, "Hey, is it just me? Is it starting to sound like people are having a bit of a cry about Auckland's housing situations? And is it just sort of entitled millennials? And I'm not one
yeah.
of them, and I'm crying about the housing
yes.
situation."
Yeah, I think if being generous, I think the point she was making was they've been unaffordable for a while. Why has it got louder? Kind of
true,
thing.
Well, true.
Well, it's got louder because it is now just it is beyond ridiculous, and we have to find a way to redeem it. That's my view. I think, you know, I work on children's issues, so child poverty issues, and the thing that's really, really come. Really surprised me, I guess, is the degree to which housing affects absolutely every single element of someone's life. You know, your ability to keep a kid enrolled at school and have some consistency for your family, the security that you have, whether or not you're able to, you know, basic things like join sports teams and community groups. It's all attached to whether or not you've got some security where you live. So there's lots of reasons why it's important, and it's not just about it goes beyond affordability.
And a lot of the division in politics comes from the, like, I look at the reason, you know, like I always look at, say, someone like the National Party. I think you're a party all about today, all about today. You're all about sort of looking at what you can get today. And I kind of have thought Labour, you know, is a little bit different in a bigger picture. But something like housing is a really, like I say, it's a big, it's not just whether you've got a house today. It's whether
yeah.
you've got a house today and then whether at the end of your life, what happens to your,
oh, totally,
you know,
totally
whether your point. Whether your children or start from square one again or whether they,
yeah.
or you know, it's a.
And it's a good point.
And imagining where you're going to live and where your future is going to
yeah.
be and where you're, you know, like, to be sort of edged out of a city that you adore and that you want to work
mm.
in or something like that just because you the market is more robust
yeah.
than or
yeah.
sort of in some sort of drunken frenzy, then that's pretty freaky. That's freaky. I think it warrants a lot more attention and a lot
it
more
does.
Talk.
Because
yeah.
I mean, like, even in New Zealand, the way our super scheme, you know, the fact that everyone gets, you know, everyone's entitled to a pension at 65, that is even based on the idea that people will be owning a home when they retire. Because if you don't own a home when you retire, then that's not enough to live on. So, yeah, it is about thinking about the long term, because if we have a situation where, you know, half of our population is renting when they're in their senior years, then we're going to have a lot of poverty amongst the elderly as well, not to mention the poverty we've got now amongst kids. So, yeah. There's a lot of things we need to think long term about, not to just do this
on the National Party, because I guess this is Labor takes a bit of responsibility for this too. Is it a bit of a situation where we've been getting told, it's going to be sweet. It'll be fine. Is that why it's only really coming up to the surface now? Have we been trusting politicians for too long, telling us it's going to be fine?
Well, the unaffordability thing, it has been building over time. That's fair, but you know what we're saying is there are things that we can do. They're not simple one-off things. There's a whole collection of things we have to do, which is why yesterday we were saying actually there's some tax loopholes we need to close. You know, there's some things we need to do to dampen down demand. It is a whole range of things that we need to do. But the issue is they're there and they're available. We just need to get on with it. We need to be bold enough to start doing some of these things. And a building program is part of that. You know, I'm kind of tired of hearing in Parliament every time we say, actually, the state needs to get on with building houses. We did it in the 1930s because we needed to, and we need to do it again. I'm kind of tired of being told we can't or we shouldn't, or, you know, when you've got a crisis, when people, you know, have kids doing homework in cars, that's the moment where you just get on with it. So, yeah, that's been frustrating. But opposition's frustrating, Mikey.
I can imagine. So, if opposition's frustrating, the idea is to become the government. Why should we be voting for you guys this year?
Yeah, I mean, you made a point back there I'm going to jump on around the, you know, doing things for today versus doing things for the future. You know, my view in particular for the next generation is they need political party that's going to pay it forward, that is going to think about the next generation and the big adjustments we need to make. So, you know, there's a few people I've seen online who are complaining about our policy to close those tax loopholes to crack down on speculators, who are saying, oh, this is really going to hurt. Well, actually, the people who can't get into the housing market are the ones that we're really worried about right now. So that's what we're focused on, what we can do for that next generation, and investing in housing, health, education, the basic stuff. Because once you get those things right, people have got a shot.
When you had your conference this weekend and you get together, did you? I'm sure there must have been a point where you talked about new voters, and let's not forget new voters. They all wanted to have own their own home and have a good business with some decent tax breaks and all that sort of stuff. But at the same time, they want a party, and they don't really think too much about that sort of stuff when it comes down to it. How are you going to convince them to make a conscious decision?
I actually thank you for introing this one. I gave an entire speech on the subject because, you know, we have only 65% of under 25, 24-year-olds are enrolled right now, 65%. So if we're in an election tomorrow, there's a big chunk of those young people who wouldn't even be eligible to vote because they wouldn't be enrolled.
Right.
And last election, the equivalent of the population of Hamilton in terms of young people didn't vote, didn't even bother to turn out. Now, I think the mistake...
Is that enrolled voters or...?
Yeah, that's enrolled. Wow. Just didn't bother. So the point...
Couldn't be asked voting.
Yeah, and that's not but. But I don't think that means they don't care. I think that would be the mistake, for us to just sit there and say that means that they're not interested. I actually think that some of it's our responsibility too. You know, I do think that this is a generation of... You look at some of the surveys they do around work habits amongst young people, much more interested in doing something with purpose, rather than, you know, just meaningless work. They're interested in collaborating rather than competition. You know, this is an interesting generation. They give a shit. And so the fact that they're not voting, I think, is as much about us. You know, I think they want us to start talking about, you know, values, a bit of vision, the stuff, why we're there, you know, making sure that they know we're not, you know, self-interested gets. That's what I think. Mm.
I guess just to the process as well, you know, making them aware of why the process is important, and you know,
civic education is a bit rubbish in schools.
That sounds pretty rubbish. Just that term, doesn't it? Civic education.
Civic education. I know.
Hi, come in for a civic. And the next 2 hours are civic education.
Well, not like in my school. I had an awesome teacher. He turned the whole classroom into a parliament. So Yeah, he was awesome. He also dressed up as Gandhi once for a lesson in the middle of winter in a shoe.
Really?
Amazing.
Well, see, awesome teachers. There's a good start. There's a good start for the future. Hey, Jacinda, thank you very much for talking to us. And I look forward to our conversation every Monday morning.
Awesome.
For the sake of full disclosure, yes, I'm biased towards Labour. Sucked in. Okay, and
it doesn't mean you won't give me a hard time. I know it, Mark.
No, it doesn't mean that I won't be pointing out any flaws. Don't worry about that.
Hey, got to read my speech.
How do I read your speech? What do I do that? How do I do that?
I put it up on my Facebook page. Our Facebook Live did. If you just want to sit and watch it.
Okay,
but,
sure.
Yeah, cool.
Thank you very much.
Next time.
See you. Bye.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.